From Los Angeles, this is Sundown Lounge. Show number 17. It's Friday, October 28th, 2005.
Hoodies floating. See what did you do?
Body is roaming.
Body is roaming.
Body is floating.
See what did you do?
Body is roaming.
You went too far.
The Man Moth by Elizabeth Bishop. Here above, cracks in the buildings are filled with battered moonlight. The whole shadow of man is only as big as his hat. It lies at his feet like a circle for a doll to stand on, and he makes an inverted pin, the point magnetized to the moon. He does not see the moon. He observes only her vast properties. Feeling the queer light on his hands, neither warm nor cold, of a temperature impossible to record in thermometers. But when the man moth pays his rare, although occasional, visits to the surface, the moon looks rather different to him. He emerges from an opening under the edge of one of the sidewalks, and nervously begins to scale the faces of the buildings. He thinks the moon is a small hole at the top of the sky, proving the sky quite useless for protection. He trembles, but must investigate as high as he can climb. Up the facades, his shadow dragging like a photographer's cloth behind him, he climbs fearfully, thinking that this time he will manage to push his small head through that round, clean opening and be forced through as from a tube in black scrolls on the light. Man, standing below him, has no such illusions. But what the man moth fears most, he must do, although he fails, of course, and falls back, scared, but quite unhurt. Then he returns to the pale subways of cement he calls his home. He flits, he flutters, and cannot get aboard the silent trains fast enough to suit him. The doors close swiftly. The man moth always seats himself facing the wrong way, and the train starts at once at its full terrible speed, without a shift in gears or a gradation of any sort. He cannot tell the rate at which he travels backwards. Each night he must be carried through artificial tunnels and dream recurrent dreams. Just as the ties recur beneath his train, these underlie his rushing brain. He does not dare look out the window, for the third rail, the unbroken draft of poison, runs there beside him. He regards it as a disease he has inherited the susceptibility to. He has to keep his hands in his pockets, as others must wear mufflers. If you catch him, hold up a flashlight to his eye. It's all dark pupil. an entire night itself, whose haired horizon tightens as he stares back and closes up the eye. Then, from the lids, one tear, his only possession, like the bee's sting, slips. Slyly, he palms it, and if you're not paying attention, he'll swallow it. However, if you watch, he'll hand it over, cool as from underground springs, and pure enough to drink. That was Sabrina from Peloton. You'll find them in the Buddy Board. Followed by a reading of one of my favorite poems, The Man Moth, by Elizabeth Bishop. Welcome to podcast number 17 for Halloween. Geekwise, I went down to Unurban to catch this week's really big show and talk to Adam about the Portable Media Expo. And he's down with it. So, long story short, I now have a Poetry Posse for my slot at the convention when the LA Podcasters Freeway series goes live. Cool. And one more thing. On iTunes and some of the other pod directories, my show is labeled explicit. It's there for a reason. This is a poetry and free speech podcast. And like my pirate radio show, I don't censor. Child safe alert! On any show, you're liable to hear any or all of the following.
Fuck, shit, piss, cock, cunt, ass, teabagging, finger banging, Crisco wristwatch, donkey punch, dirty Sanchez, ass jammer, ass pirate, ass master, felching, snowballing, Tijuana donkey party, whacking off, riding the baloney pony, parking the beef truck at Tuna Town, storming the pearly gates with the purple devil, answering the bona phone, busting up, blow a load, clubbing the dolphin, fist kebabbing, put Percy in the playpen, saucing the clam, sinking the pink, and eating the cream puff in the enchanted forest.
That was from Pacific Coast Hellway, a most excellent podcast from Mark Yoshimoto Nemkov. Thanks, Matt. Okay. Sundown Lounge is a weekly poetry zine / radio show with an open mic stage for pod-safe music and spoken word, a map room for news and alternative tech, and Venue Verite, which covers the West Coast open mic scene, etc. All the other important blah 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 is on my podcast page, dublarrywinfield.com/sundownlounge.htm. Send email to sundownlounge@larrywinfield.com. Okay, the open mic stage continues. First, with a word from Belinda, followed by one of two spooky treats from Alex Severin, called In the Flesh.
Hi, this is Belinda Subraman. Listen to me interview poets, writers, and musicians on the Gypsy Art Show each week on Bizoo Homegrown Radio, located on your computer at www.bzoo.org. The Gypsy Art Show is played in rotation on the 24-hour live streaming Homegrown Radio and can be heard at will through podcast, just one click away on the Bizoo homepage. It's a lot of fun. I hope you get to listen. Come on over. www.bizoo.org.
His rigid flesh seemed so alive under the press of my eager fingers. Although there was no pulse that coursed through him, I fancied that his veins breathed beneath my touch, that they gasped in ecstasy as I traced a path along their raised blue exquisiteness, that I had with my devout worship brought him back into the land of the living from the realm of the dead. Had he been alive, though, I would not have been there with him. Had he been alive, I would not have been so desperately in love. Had he been alive, I would not have felt such an ache for him deep inside the bud. My heart bled for the loss of his life, and it beat for his beauty in death. I straddled him, my hot, moist thighs glistening with excited sweat. I pressed my wet palms to his chest and leaned over him, gazing at his stunning beauty. I could wait no longer to kiss his full blue lips, which were slightly parted as if they welcomed the warmth of my kiss. His cold shocked my mouth and made me gasp, but it did not stop. Our heat and cold fought each other, and for the very first time since I began defiling the dead, I wanted him to be alive. I wanted to be in his deathly embrace, to feel his arms wrapped around me. I wanted to feel his cold palms on my ravening skin, to feel his chill whisper in my ear, the ice of his lips on my rigid nipples. I wanted to hear him gasp my name in the dark, to hear him say how good it felt to be so deep inside me, probing my wet heat with his exquisite cock. I wanted him to want me the way I wanted him, to look at me the way I looked to him, to love me the way I loved him, to need me the way I needed him. Hot tears stung my mournful eyes. I knew that my touch, my kiss, my dark passion could never be returned by him. I shivered from the chill of his skin as I caressed him, his rigid torso like cold marble. I could see and feel the definition in every muscle as I traced the contours of his perfect biceps, his sculpted shoulders, the hard sinew in his chest and his torso and his huge, powerful thighs. His beauty was so breathtaking. It was a sin that he was dead.
Here's a piece from Antony Rajakov called Amber, then a song from Alex Severin.
Thank you. from a dead man's dream. I was no rebel, no libertine. I roam a palace with sodden walls, where demons chase me through blood-swept halls. Tell me how the sun shines where you are. Never have a reason to be afraid, where the angels sing love forever, whose breath will not know till judgment day. Mark was clear that I would be damned. I was a sinner from a foreign land. I loved another without grace or God. Neither could I mend my ways nor fix my lot. Tell me how the sun shines where you are. Never have a reason to be afraid, where the angels sing love forever, whose wrath will not know till judgment day. Work hard to push that rock faster up the steep hill until you slip again. Rise slow, pump your arms faster through the cold water till your lungs are spent.
With you.
That was Hell Notes by Alex Severin. She's in the UK. She writes cool vampire erotica, among other things. You can click her link on the Buddy Board or just go to dubalexseverin.com. S-E-V-E-R-I-N. Oh, one more thing. I found an episode of the old Lights Out radio thriller from the 40s. This show was very controversial because they made the sound effects as realistic as possible. And lots of people didn't sleep well after hearing the shows. Now, it's a half-hour episode, so I'll just play a teaser, but you can download it from the Map Room page.
Ironized Yeast presents Lights Out, Everybody.
It is later than you think.
Lights Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly, but sincerely, to turn off your radio now.
The Map Room this week is really spooky. First, we have what I call an anti-politician living will. Lest these vultures try to do to you what they did to Terry Schiavo. Next, we have one of those real magic trick web pages. This one is called Original Zeke's Magic Card Trick. And it was eerie. I tried this thing a dozen times. And as long as I didn't cheat, I couldn't trick it. Now, it has a complicated URL, so just go to the link on the page or hit Original Zeke's Magic Card Trick in your search engine. Finally, we have an electronic magic program called Telehypnosis that claims to perform rituals you program into it. You're going to have to check this one out for yourself. Go to dubtifereth.com. That's T-I-F-A-R-E-T-H.com. Okay, this week's Venue Verite at the Really Big Show came complete with a candlelight vigil conducted in front of the cafe to remember the soldiers, because we've reached the official number of 2,000, although it's more than that have died. If you died of your wounds when you weren't in Iraq, you're not counted among the official dead. If you died in a hospital in Germany, you're not counted among the official dead. And meanwhile, the Iraqis are saying 2,000. Hey, we got 30,000 dead, and most of them are just civilians. Thank you very much. Anyway, somebody from MoveOn was there, I think. And the mood was anger. Not at cartoon monsters, but at the ghouls currently holding the White House captive.
I usually read my poem at the beginning of the second half, but I believe it to be relevant to the reason why people have candles and Darla has this sign, and people feel really emotional and strong about what they believe in. Is Dave Nordling here? I had a strange conversation with him yesterday at lunch, and that's okay, because this is a strange conversation I had with my mother. Thank you, Mother, for the bloody half and the torn apart majesty of our country, rended by internal forces combusting, and our false idols elevated on TV screens in two-dimensional dementia, slack-lipped and stupid grins, starving good souls of their compassion, desire to live, and their belief in freedom. Sellout culture of promise keepers who beat their wives senseless in private in the middle of the country, not by coastal, not by anything, and certainly afraid of the other. A no-flyover zone walled off Walmart, open all night for your bargain shopping needs. Those cheap goods made overseas by tiny hearts slaving for your discount underwear and your garden tools. Red state, red meat, red eyes like the devil who speaks louder to be heard. And thank you, Mother, for none of the other on TV or in the churches. They are left to the margins, hiding in bushes and cradling their lover when there's nothing left. And I want you to imagine your two sons in the desert huddling in the sand and picking up dinars for souvenirs, reloading their guns and cocking them behind a makeshift bunker, throwing dead rounds onto the ground and covering over them by kicking sand. Used to the smell of dry rot, the kind of death the desert makes more than heroes. And then in the mash and mangle of friendly fire, bodies with parts removed, cluttering the ground, we become friends with the other soldiers in that uncomfortable way you do on an airplane. When you know you may never see them again and don't care to know them by their last name even, except it's always Colonel something when they read the list of people whose names you didn't ask. God save us now, Mother. Alone out here, separated by time zones and vacuum space. And I had so much hope before now, Mother, right in this moment when I watched my brother die in the stream, legs blown up through his torso by a hidden explosive that looked like the same endless sand, Mother. I grabbed my arms and looked right into the eyes and told him not to talk, never to talk again, forced into silence and to die in another country for our country. Thank you, Mother, for this nightmare. Because in my dream, there isn't any white or blue in the desert. And you have me seeing red, red states, red eyes, red skin. Are you happy with your God everywhere? Celebrating him in TV, books, and movies is the advertising trifecta. Drowning out the intellectuals with their silly theories on evolution, theocracy, and the end of society. Mother, you wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, wondering out loud, can you keep the ghosts of the past away, the far past? You seem to think you're past that now, but godless children are everywhere, on the sidewalks, in the parks, in the sewers, reminding you how when you were younger, you used to smoke pot with your girlfriend with the maroon wood deck late night outside in Philadelphia, while me and my brother slept soundly upstairs, and the humid air clung stickier than the sweat to the sleeveless clothes and your khaki shorts. And I would wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat from the fever dreams, and I would creep to the window to see the two of you cradling bottles of beer in the reflected kitchen light, sipping from one and sucking the smoke hours later into your lungs, ending like a firefly at the tip. And your laughter grew louder. You would crash out in the guest room with your friend, and I'd strain to listen out the window to the floating up fragments of conversation talking about nothing. You wouldn't pray before you slept, went to sleep, forgetting even to brush your teeth, fixing up religious symbols in your head, way back from your childhood, less remembering. And I ducked back into bed and hide underneath the covers. Scott and I were so content sleeping through to the morning. When you would wake up early because of your thin sleep and your beating headache, fix us breakfast, I could smile at your hangover and see your friend's jacket in the hallway on the hook. When you started to ask us to say a prayer before eating years later, a dinner that was already cold, you had me seeing red, Mother. And blood is cheap to poor people in the middle of the big cities. It splatters on the ground, mixing in the puddles of rain and piss. It stains the carpet worse, Mother, and requires so much effort to remove its grass. 4 million new people in poverty, and you with your brand new jacuzzi. Bread, milk, butter, then bread, then milk, then bread, and only water. Let me tell you, Mother, where you live and work, how many homeless people ask you for change when you walk outside? When I pass by them, I try to read their entire life and the moment it took to look them in the eyes. Today, I watched a brand new mother nurse her baby on a park bench in Los Angeles, cradling the newborn's hand in her palm, simulating the motion of sucking. Other hands pull the body closer to share her warmth. And that expression on her face, it changes while I watch. And she stares at her baby's face, trying to see herself in those eyes, from happiness to contentment to sadness. And she says something, to the baby. Something I can't hear, but I try my best across the street to read her lips, and I will ask you that same question, mother. What future? Then a man passes on his cell phone. He reaches in his pocket. He throws some change on the ground in front of the mother who's crying now, and she grabs her car keys out of her pocket, wipes the body temperature milk from the porcelain edges of her baby's lips, and gives the finger to the man as she kicks his change onto the street. Her eyes must have turned red, mother. When my brother and I were younger, we used to play so well together. We used to love your friends and laugh at your jokes. And every new guy who came around, we used to ask him what kind of car he drove, if he had any kids, and if he liked movies. But I'm seeing red over this reality, and I am covered with blood, mother, and half my body wanting to shout, half my body wanting to fight, upset that America looks disgusting, and that we've given up to the 22% our sense of greatness. And would God bless an America like the one you've left me? And I believe that when I'm sitting next to you in your hospital bed, and you can't talk anymore about the past, and about the ghosts, and about the way you used to laugh, I will think about how bad I am at goodbyes. And how I've already said goodbye, mother, to my America. Goodbye without salute, goodbye without God, and goodbye without humanity. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, sweet. All right, please welcome to the stage the next performer of the evening. His name is Eric Steiniger. And that's a fucking awesome jacket, Eric Steiniger.
North Carolina is prone to having a lot of tobacco and a lot of good jackets, so.
Is that the only
thing they know? Erica, yes, those two things, jackets and tobacco. Well, as today is kind of an anti-war protest, I will read the ending of my Carrie Van poem, but it's like 8 minutes long, so I'll read like the last two paragraphs. My friends are armed with facts, and we encourage debate, but no one stops for us. We hope that it's not too late. That one side glance in the rearview mirror of a speeding car can make a difference, can be realized by anyone who allows himself to be open to it, that people look past the refrain and at tradition with discriminating eyes. What was preached at the dinner table 20 years ago may not be relevant now. I love my time here and will never be done with this mission. America, we hasten your quick return. We love our country and know that it can be powerful without calling attention to its power. We are fighting for our future in the year of the insane, four friends standing in the American desert. That's like a 10-minute song right there, so.
For at least a week. Please welcome to the stage Mike Slobotsky.
Nothing really prepared except to talk about my experiences of the last 6 days. I just got back from New Orleans, where a lot of folks know I'm from, and know that our family was visited a tragedy of 9 feet of water in our house. And before I get into what I saw, because I know a lot of people are curious about that, I now have a new way to like ward off people who want to mug me or people I don't like. I can say I just got back from New Orleans and go and then spit up like red blood, like red plaque, and go, oh, it's just West Nile virus, don't worry about that. So what I was saying was, and, you know, I can spray it and all that, so there's benefits from it. I went over there because I felt a calling. For so many reasons, I'm not going to be able to get close to what the experience was. I couldn't finish a poem. I couldn't finish anything. I needed to go there to put to rest a lot of questions. I needed to go there to go into my mom and stepdad's house and find something to bring back to her, and so that I could see a smile on her face, which I brought back a suitcase of stuff, jewelry and all sorts of things. Let me just first say that, does anybody here know anyone from New Orleans who has been touched by this, other than me? Okay. I want to get this out first, because this is the most important thing of all. The people of New Orleans need your help. If New Orleans has touched anybody here in any way whatsoever, and you want to give back, this is the time to give back. It is just going back in time economically. It's on its knees. If it was a person, it would be a double amputee on the legs and one arm gone and a few organs and on dialysis. For miles and miles and miles, it's a ghost town in different areas. A whole demographic has been wiped out of my hometown. I drove in from Baton Rouge. I flew into Baton Rouge and I drove in. And when I crossed the 17th Street Canal to the area that had all the water, the 9 feet, I tried to prepare myself for it. I tried. You know, I was like, it's going to be really wild looking and crazy and awful. But once I got in there, it was like a prehistoric hell. It was like just unbelievable. I went into the house, and it was like a photo negative of reality, because all the mud and water had washed everything in the house. The piano looked like an old, it was like a haunted house. All the things that I've known for 18 years of this house was all muted, and I found myself digging for photographs. And I'll never see a photograph on the wall again the same way. And I'll never want to see it low. I'll always want to put it up high, because the color photographs tend to run, and you pick them up and you look, and it's like a Jackson Pollock. It's kind of beautiful, actually, in a weird kind of way. And you look in to try and see some images of faces, and the mold and the mud and the muck on the ground is like about this thick, and you're plodding through with a mask on, and there's mold all on the walls, and it's just that multiplied by thousands. And what my family experienced multiplied by thousands. And then you head past that into St. Bernard Parish, and it starts again for even more. Miles and miles and miles, same thing, just shells of houses. And then once you get out of that, you start to get the wind damage from Katrina. Miles and 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 miles of ghost town. One thing that needs to be put clear, and every one of us here needs to start spreading this word. There were two disasters in Louisiana. One was Katrina that hit East Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama. The other one was a man-made disaster by not fixing those levees. So the media and the government, both local, state, and federal, there's a lot of blame to go around, would have you believe it's all Katrina. They call it the Katrina Fund, all this. It's not Katrina. If it was only Katrina, New Orleans would still be up. It would just be people would have some water in their house and it would be okay. So I'm making a plea to everybody, not only to help others in any way you can, give money, try to find a family that you can help out in some way, but let's change the language and quit calling the floods that happened in New Orleans Katrina, because that's like saying the sun rose and I got skin cancer. Get what I'm saying? And it's just like how we're stopping, we're not calling the mainstream media the mainstream media anymore. Did you get that note? It's now called the corporate media. Because mainstream media is this. Mainstream media is Pacifica. Mainstream media is some of NPR. That's mainstream. We need to reword everything. So my plea to you is to start spreading the word that there were two disasters in New Orleans, and then maybe we can help prevent these things in the future. I'm going to be processing. I had a video camera and a tape recorder with me the whole way. So at some point, I'm going to have a showing, and I hope you can come see it. And thank you.
That is Mike Sikorsky. Please give a round of applause. Thank you, Mike.
The music bed for this podcast comes from lots of free spooky sounds I found on about two or three different sites. And it's not bad. And it's all public domain, so hey. Please leave any comments, questions, or suggestions for the show in the Beach House, my handy blog. You can click the little yellow Beach House GIF in between the red and the blue GIFs on the page. And it'll go right to it. To subscribe, the main feed address is dublarrywinfield.com/sundown.xml. You can also subscribe through Feedburner, iTunes, Odeo, Podnova, and Yahoo. And if you haven't subscribed yet, try Odeo and Podnova. They don't have anybody on them yet. Although it's no big deal because they have repeat episodes in their queue. yeah, but enough about that. The next Podzine will air November 4th. I'm Larry, and this is Sundown Lounge from Los Angeles.